God bless each of you as we're, and all of us together as we're assembled here for this worship service. I think you've already detected a degree of soberness, maybe solemnity, more than it often is. I'd also say greetings to all of us. Those of us who remain, we're still here this morning. We just don't know how long. And the circumstances where we find ourselves in, our emotions are on the raw side. And that's okay. If you feel like shedding tears, don't be embarrassed. Tears are a language that God understands. It's okay. I think there's something wrong. We're not realistic if we don't shed tears when a loved one takes their leave. In fact, the Bible says, I think of there in Acts, when Stephen was martyred, it says devout men carried him to his burial and made great lamentations over him. And I don't think it was out of control. I don't think as Christians it should be out of control. In fact, Paul writes, we don't weep as those that have no hope. And that's the difference. We have an anchor that holds us through the storms of life. That song was very special this morning as I thought of where we're at, where we find ourselves at this morning before an almighty God. And so we're here to encourage each other, strengthen each other as we continue our pilgrimage. God will certainly do that. Daniel referred to the timing of this message. I felt a little bit strange about it because I had for a long time already as desired and was wanting to preach a message on death, on the subject of death, and it just didn't happen. After I preached the last message several weeks ago, I'd resolved and felt that definitely my next message would be. Several reasons for that. I think we should. Well, I'd like to highlight two points in this message. And one is to remind us that death is universal. It's something that will happen to all of us. To prepare us for death. And secondly, that death is not the end. For the Christian, it's a doorway to a better life. So I'd like to highlight those two points. And I'd also like to say that in spite of our circumstances this morning, I hope that we have found the strength and that we can smile in spite of our tears. We can smile and have joy through our tears. I think that's a tremendous testimony for the Christians. One of my earliest reflections on death, or an untimely death, as we say, when an accident happened out here in the valley, and I was just a little fella. I don't know how old, but I was only, I don't know. But I still remember it and the impression it made on me when there was a young father killed suddenly in the local community. And this young man's father related in this way. I'm thinking the neighbors heard him scream, and I know the neighbors had to gather together to hold him down, that he wouldn't hurt himself. Left an awful impression on my young mind of death. Is that what death is? I never forgot that to this day. And But in contrast to that, I remember so well Brother Abner Kaufman sharing his testimony and about an accident that had happened when he was working with a man, and Abner was unconverted at that time. The man wasn't instantly killed. This happened at work. Later on that evening, Brother Abner was at home, and this man's sister came to tell Abner that he had passed on. But the point of this was, the contrast of this was, that his sister walked into the barn where Abner was at, and she had a smile on her face. And Abner thought, good, Ronnie is better. But she came up to Abner and she said, I just wanted to tell you that Ronnie went to his reward. You see the contrast? Abner said, it just finished me. How could she stand there and smile and say that? You see the contrast? Isn't that beautiful? There's another side to that. We need not despair. Carolyn, this morning, Carolyn has went to her reward. Praise the Lord. It's difficult to say that, and it's painful. But that's where our sister is at. So, titled the message, The Universal Sentence of Death. I already said what the two points are that I would like to highlight. The certainty of death, and secondly, that death is nothing to fear. I would like to implant that on our minds. And so I said that God's timing is always right. I had not planned to preach that message for a circumstance like this, but God's timing is always right. Death is inevitable. Life, like an arrow or like a bullet, once it's launched, must go its way till it reaches its final destination, which is death. There's a little booklet that it's been around for I don't know how long, called Rules of a Godly Life. Maybe some of you have it. Good little booklet. Encourage you to have it. But in that little booklet, it says, think often on the four last things. The number one thing it says, on death, there is nothing more sure. On judgment, there is nothing more terrible. On hell, there is nothing more unbearable. On heaven, there is nothing more joyful. It says, think often on the last four things. How often, to any of us here, how often do you think about death and dying? How often do you do that? Well, I mean, right now, of course. And maybe in the past several weeks, we've been thinking about it a lot more because of Carolyn. But when things go well and we don't have, nothing happens for a long time, and we're prone to forget or not think about those things as we ought to. Yet I believe that's good admonition for all of us. Think often on death. There's nothing more sure. Why? Why does man shy away from that? Why does man in general, why do they shy away from that? I remember once asking a man, I was talking to him about spiritual things, and he was not a Christian. I remember asking him, what do you think about when you think about death and dying? Oh, he said, I don't think about it. I try not to think about it. No. But he admitted, he said, at night, sometimes when he lays down, he said, it's just like there's a crushing weight in my chest. I can't breathe. It's just like I'm suffocating. Beloved, this morning, none of us has to be in that kind of a situation. And not to think about death and dying, it's not being realistic. If you push it away and you just don't want to think about it because, yeah, you're scared or whatever, that's not being realistic. It's sure. What if, now this is hypothetical, but what if before the Twin Towers, the planes into those Twin Towers, those people that were on those planes. They had no idea what it was in front of them, but that's why I say it's hypothetical. But what if they would have known that, and they'd have got on those planes and they said, well, we're just not going to think about it. Well, wouldn't have happened. But you know, that's similar, or that's parallel to us if we're here and man doesn't want to think about death and dying. It's just as sure as those planes hit the World Trade Center, just as sure that your life is going to come to death at some point. So that's why I say it's not facing reality. It's not realistic. If someone, and that's a good argument we can give anyone, I say, well, you're not being realistic. You're not thinking right if you think that, well, I just won't think about it. I won't think about it. And I just love the testimony that Carolyn had. She often thought about death and dying the last weeks. Often did. And you do that when you have a terminal illness. I remember so well 7 years ago when I was diagnosed with what the doctors said then, terminal. I remember sitting here in the congregation those first month and looking at you all and just wondering, well, I wonder who's going to be next. There's probably could be several of us, could be many of us that might face cancer. We don't know that. Little did I, what I have thought of Carolyn and that she would pass on before myself. But we don't know those things. Psalm 31, I think it's verse 15, says, my times are in his hands. You see, not only does it mean that God controls our time, but the circumstances in our life are controlled by God. They are designed and controlled by God. And so my encouragement to us this morning is that this message be a positive message. Why? Why does carnal man not like to think about dying and death? Because it's contrary to our human nature, isn't it? There's something about our humanity that wants to shy away from it. We don't want to talk about it. And you know, the world often tries to cover up those things. And, you know, some of the things I want to talk about a little bit are just practical things that we face. Okay, I'm thinking about when we began an outreach there in Flemingsburg, Kentucky. The first year, I think we were only there maybe 3/4 of a year, something like that. And when we had a death, as we could say, untimely, there was a little 5-year-old girl, her father drove over her with the tractor. It was a tragedy. There we were as a fledgling church. We're not prepared for something like, hadn't thought about that. That wasn't in our plans in our outreach. Think about that. We talk about outreach here. We hadn't planned on that. But my point being is there was a tremendous outpouring of sympathy from the community. The locals never forget how they poured out their sympathy, and they rallied around these Mennonite families here that had moved in their community, and they wanted to do anything, everything they could to help ease the pain, and we appreciated that. There was no words to express how they did that. But one of the things they wanted to do, the local grave digger, as we called it, from one of the cemeteries that did a lot of the funerals, he came out to us, and he wanted to furnish manicured, you know, he wanted to furnish green turf and wanted to cover up. He said he'll bring everything out, you know, we'll cover up the grave. And, you know, if you go to some of these local community funerals, you know how it is. I mean, sometimes it doesn't amount to much. But, I mean, and I say that respectfully, but what he wanted to do, they wanted to cover it up. They said that, you know, if you go to those funerals, they'll have that everything manicured and fake grass, and they cover the They cover the hole, as we say. They cover the grave site. They cover that all up. And, you know, you have just a little short service there, and then everybody's excused. You don't really see where they put the coffin down, where you put the, you know, scoop the ground on. And as difficult as it was, I remember we had to tell them, we don't, please, we don't want that. I think it kind of hurt their feelings a little bit. They thought they were being so nice and trying to help us. But we said, look, we want to see what we're doing. We want to put this casket down in the grave, and we want to cover it up. You see, it's part of it. It's not when we try to just push everything away and just make it as artificial as we can. It's to get away from the pain and the idea of death and so forth. I'm so thankful this morning that we try to be practical according to the scripture. We try to be practical when we have those things. All right, move on quickly here. Yes. Just want to look at some scriptures, what the Bible has to say about death being universal in the first point. What the Bible says about death. We have the account, of course, there in Genesis when God spoke to Adam and Eve, and he told them, if you transgress and you take off of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, the day that you do that, you're surely going to die. Well, then we know how the serpent came in with the subtlest and said, no, that's really not. It's not. You're not surely going to die. But the fact is, what God said was true. They died spiritually instantly. The physical death was to come later, but it was a surety. And that's where we're at this morning. That's why we are still dealing and have the consequences of that original sin in the garden. God said, when he spoke to Adam and Eve then about what they had done, God said to them at death, my own words, thou shalt return to the ground, for out of it thou wast taken. So that's why I think it's beautiful. We take the casket out and we lower it, and at the committal we say, earth to earth, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. It goes back to where we were taken from. I think it's very beautiful. It makes an impression, and it implants on us as this is reality. This is something that all of us will face someday. Romans 5 verse 12 says, "For whereby as one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." That's speaking, of course, spiritually, but it's also physically. The physical death because of one man's sin, because of our transgression. That's a death sentence. That's a universal sentence. Something that man has in common. We may say, as Christians, we don't have a lot of things in common with the world, but there are things that are universal, things that are in common, and death is one. We're all on the same page. Death is universal. That's why I think of it as the universal sentence of death. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 8 says, "There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death." There is no discharge in that war. That is concrete. None of us. None of us, we have power over the spirit. There's no discharge. You won't be able to get an exemption. You can't get away from that this morning. That's just a fact. The scripture is true. Job said, "For I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living." There again, sure. Job said that. The house of death, every one of us. When the call came to Carolyn on Friday morning, she was instantly ready and she answered that call. I think that's beautiful. And so you and I, we're going to answer that call. It's like Job said here, I know thou would bring me to death and the house appointed. Job also said, thou shalt call and I will answer thee. Thou shalt have a desire to the work of thine hands. That's why I say again, when the call came on Friday morning, Carolyn was instantly ready and she answered that call. And that's beautiful from a Bible perspective. You and I are going to answer that call as far as the readiness of that call is up to each one of us. But see, Carolyn had made her house ready. She was ready, and she was ready to answer that call when that call came on Friday morning. Second Samuel, even Samuel the prophet said this about death. He said, for we must needs die, and are as water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither does God respect any person. There's no respect of person. We know what happens. You pour water in the ground. He said, we can't gather it up again. That's what Samuel likened it to. He said, where is water? Where we must all needs die, and there is water spilled on the ground. And there's no respecter of person. You know, this morning we can't say the scripture has not given us. There's no man that can say the scripture does not have ample warning in regards to the surety, the fact that we're all going to die. And then we have that familiar scripture in Hebrews 9, verse 27, where it says, and it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. Once again, it's a divine appointment that every one of us has. It is appointed into every one of us here. We just don't know when or where or how. That's where we are this morning. We know how Carolyn, her last days, and what took her, but we don't know. We don't know what's going to be our. But one thing we do know, that it is appointed unto every one of us. We'll all have our turn, unless the Lord comes back before that. We'll all have our turn. No wonder the psalmist tells us in Psalm 90, verse 12, so teach us to number our days. Or another way of paraphrasing that, so teach us that our days are numbered. Isn't that what the word is teaching us? Isn't that what these scriptures are telling us? Our days are numbered. We just don't know how many. We don't know when that number will expire. It goes on to say that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. And I'm so blessed this morning that Carolyn did that. She applied her heart to wisdom. She made wise choices. She was ready when that call came. And so it behooves us as we think of the fact that we're going to die. We are here this morning. And I'm sure the words of the prophet when he came to Hezekiah and said, set the house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. That message to every one of us this morning. If you have not done that, do so. Do so today. You don't know how much time you have. We think sometimes, well, we've got time. We've got time left and so forth. I think I've mentioned already about a 95-year-old man that one of the brothers asked him one day. He wasn't a Christian. He said, why don't you get ready? Well, he said, I think I've got a few more years. Imagine that. Maybe. But that's not being realistic. And we say, well, just give me time. Time. Whose time are we operating on? It's very dangerous. We do not know. In conclusion, we live in the land of the dying to prepare to go to the land of the living. Isn't that wonderful? We can read with plenty of scriptures that tell us about the land of the dying, but also about the land of the living. Now, maybe this is sidelining a little bit, but I thought of these scriptures in relation to where we are today and what we'll have, Lord willing, to go through for the rest of the day and tomorrow. All of us, the family and the church family. Ecclesiastes 7 says, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to heart. I readily admit funerals and going to funerals are not my favorite place to go. Not according to my humanity. I would rather go to a supper somewhere, an invitation. Maybe you think I'm carnal. But I see the value. And I believe with all my heart what God has called us as a church family to go through here is going to be for the betterment of us spiritually. I just believe that with all our heart. I don't think we're going to forget this very soon. I don't think we will. And that's good. That's what the scripture says. It's better to go to the house of mourning. It'll be better for us to go to the viewing, as we say, and the funeral tomorrow. It'll be better for us than if we had the church picnic, for example. We all like that, don't we? Of course we do. We all like that. But it says the living, those who are spiritually alive, seeking after God, will lay it to our heart. We will lay this to our heart, because the next time it could be me, it could be you, it could be anyone in here. And so it behooves us to be ready. That same scripture says, by the sadness of the countenance is the heart made better. And that's, again, that's a fact. By the sadness of the countenance, by our tear shedding, and by our heavy hearts through this, our heart can be made better, should be made better, will be made better if we respond in the way that God desires that we do. That same scripture also says in that same chapter, the day of death is better than the day of one's birth. Have you ever figured that out? You know, birth announcements, and we rejoice and we think, well, it's really something. Not so with death announcements so much. When Daniel sent the relay around the other morning, it was heavy. It is hard. But scripture says the day of one's death is better than their birth. Can we navigate that? Can we figure that out? I think we can. Well, I want to move on. I want to keep us long this morning. So the second point, I'd just like to, maybe this will sound more positive. Death. I'd like to think about death as the gateway to glory for the Christian. It's the gateway to glory. What is death? It's a time of transition or an exodus from this body, from this world that we know now, into the next. We have an example before us. So, this afternoon and this evening and tomorrow, Lord willing, we'll be viewing. Carolyn, as we say, we're going to the viewing. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're expecting to see Carolyn, Carolyn will not be there. She's not there. She has went on. She's not there. What we'll be viewing will only be the house that she lived in. Remember that. Carolyn won't be there. It's just the house that she lived in. She has went on. She has no need of that house anymore. So she won't be there. Remember so well when my own father died years ago, I had always contemplating death, or when him passing on, I had thought, you know, you kind of visualize in your mind how this will be. remember so well that his physical body did not have the attraction that I thought it would. Because I remember standing beside his body in the coffin, you know, Dad wasn't there. He was gone. It was just the house he lived in. So let's remember that too as we go to the thing. Now, I will say that, you know, there's attractions to that. There are, I think there should be. It's kind of like when I go out to the old Yoder farm and I see where we grew up as a family, my parents and my siblings are gone, but there's still an attraction there. There's memories, just worlds of memories of good times and growing up and spending time there. And so it is. We're dealing with those memories when we view Carolyn's body. But the fact is, she will not be there. Don't go there expecting to see her. She's not there. She's gone on. She has no need. It's just the house that she lived in. Paul said, getting ahead of myself here a little bit, but 1 Corinthians 5 verse 1 says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Again, going back, Paul was writing and saying, if this earthly house, this tabernacle, this thing that I live in, that you live in, if this thing is dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. We don't know exactly how that's all going to be or with what, you know, as it says in Corinthians there, 15, you know, some say, well, how's the resurrection going to be and what kind of a body they're going to have? We don't know that. We speculate, but it's still a mystery. But going back to the fact that we will have no need of this tabernacle, of this body. We won't have any need of it. That's why we have funerals. That's why it is as God said to Adam and Eve, earth to earth, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. It's where, and you know, but it says the spirit, the soul, goes back to God who gave it. And that's really wonderful. You don't put someone in the grave. You don't put them in there. We only put their house in, the house that they lived in. That's what we do. And again, just reflecting a little bit the difference between the world. If you go out here to Lost Creek Mennonite Cemetery, which is right against the old home farm there, you're going to see a couple, I don't know what's the right word, but you'll see a couple, I call them tombs, on top of the ground. In other words, they're granite, what's the right word for it? I don't know. But they sit on top of the ground. Now, there's at least two of them there that I can think of. The one, I'm not sure what the story was, but the second one I remember so well, that someone that was friends with him said that this man and his wife, they were sitting there one day, and his wife said, "I don't want to be put into the ground when I die. I don't want to go there." So they went to great efforts. They put this granite thing there, and they had to get a crane in. This thing is heavy. And they set it on top of the ground. She and her husband, and or both, you just slide the coffins in there and lock it. It's on top of the ground. But see, she said, I don't want to go into the ground. Don't bury me in the ground. Well, you can't. The fact is, as Christians, it's just our bodies that we put there. You see the difference again, the contrast when we think of death and the difference. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Our sister, Carolyn, has gained greatly by the step. We're the losers because we're staying behind. We couldn't go with her. So it's painful. And we're the losers. But she has gained. Like Paul said, "For me to die is gain." All right. He goes on there in 2 Corinthians 5 and he says, when he speaks about the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal heaven. And in verse 2 he says, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. That's not a carnal mind that says that. The carnal mind, again, shies away and pushes it away as far as it can. But so this morning, I just leave that challenge to us. Do we desire, because of the spiritual life and because we know it is far better to be with the Lord, it's far better, we have something to look forward to, do we groan with Paul when Paul said we groan to be delivered? Carolyn did in her last days. I'm sure it had to do with her physical house being worn out. But I think as spiritual beings, oh, beloved, this morning, let God put that groaning in you. You desire to be delivered. I just can't, you know, wait. It's hard to wait until your turn comes, until your time comes. I think I'll close with that. There's much more we could have said, but I think we'll just close with that. And let's kneel for prayer.